Good evening. Welcome to the Salyer Report. Today is January 19th, 2017. I'm Catherine Alston Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. The Dr. Joseph Farrell crowdfund is going gangbusters. We've raised over $18,000, and we need to raise an additional $213.95 to get our full $4,000 match. We're really excited. I hope we'll be there by Monday, and I'm very excited because that means Joseph is going to get his pipe organ. We still have two more phases to do, but the big box is coming in with phase one. That's the big piece, so this is very, very good. And I have to thank you all for your support. It's just been marvelous. Our prayer book, which was our Christmas card for 2017, we still have copies. So just email or call or send a self-addressed stamp envelope. They're free. We're happy to send them if you want extra for your family. As long as we have them, delighted to send them. After we publish the annual wrap-up, I'll come back to everybody in Australia. That trip is on, and I'm very much looking forward to it. And then I'm working on a lunch in Louisville and a trip to Palm Springs to give a speech in April, and I'll keep you posted. Our theme tonight is Here It Comes. It's the inauguration tomorrow at noon. I'm sorry for being so D.C.-centric. Because the U.S. central bank policy, the federal budget, and the related media is driving so much of the global financial markets, and this is such a huge change in cash flows and credit flows, it's going to be enormous, that I anticipate being D.C.-centric for the first 100 days, at least, of the new administration. What we're watching on the surface is a circus. There is a symptom of a struggle at a deeper level. A lot of it relates to the economics of reshoring a great deal of money and operations, and then rebalancing our relationship vis-a-vis both Russia, China, and that means Iran in the middle of it. Obviously, the mini-night thing is in full blossom. It's really gotten over the top. It reminds me of one of the political appointees at HUD when I worked there. He said it's like working with people who go at each other on razor blades when you're in a rubber lifeboat. We've watched Lindsey Graham, Senator John McCain, Mario Rubio, John Lewis, Maxine Waters all make complete fools of themselves. It's complete bipartisan clown. A lot of what they're doing is reading from a script, from a teleprompter. It doesn't work. And the question is, what are they up to? Clearly, my guess is that the group laundering money through the Clinton Foundation, including the Clintons, have their control files, and that includes the part of the CIA that was supporting the Clintons. I suspect it's the same group that's behind the death threats to some of the performers like Bocelli who've had to cancel out of the singing at the inauguration. You see Soros at Davos, and Biden at Davos, too. Biden gave a speech saying that, you know, this was all destroying the Trump and what was happening was destroying the world order. Now, this is a guy who helped the Clintons engineer U.S. slave labor camps so they could all make money in D.C. real estate, among other things, and assisted with the financial coup. So it's like, buddy, who are you shilling for? And then Soros at Davos has just been incredible. He says Trump will fail. He said it on Bloomberg TV. You had the feeling that the interviewer was struggling not to laugh at him because it was so bad. He also took some shots at me, which I'll describe when I get to Britain. It's a more complicated issue, but clearly the mini-night thing on the surface is bad. Facebook is censoring RT from Facebook during the inauguration. It's just so over the top. Anyway, part of it is you've got Hollywood, Silicon Valley, the DC bureaucracy who are not making the adjustment. Of course, Wall Street turns in a dime and can make money with anybody. They can make a ton on reshoring, especially since they brought in the team that globalized the money. So the guys who engineered the strong dollar policy and the suppression of the gold price and the housing bubble coming back in to reverse engineer what they did. It's what it looks like. Anyway, Hollywood, Silicon Valley, the DC bureaucracy have not made the same adjustment. You have I've always known there was a terrible superiority complex. It's gotten much worse since I was there. But, you know, you forget how bad it's gotten. The arrogance is really off the charts. they don't understand that the debt growth model is over and that that is what's happening. You know, Trump is just a symptom of a much deeper thing and clearly is not, you know, if you look at who's really in control, it's the guys who decided to switch the money. They really don't understand how their money works. They don't how much, they have no idea how much of their economics are subsidized. They're very ungrounded, and it shows you what happens when you mind control a whole society. The people participating or doing the mind control literally lose their minds as well. So there's a lot of disconnect from real economics. You know, and what we're watching also is going from process people. So Obama was a lawyer and very good at running a process, to price people. So Trump does not run smooth bureaucratic process, but he understands price and he focuses on performance. So it's really the sort of price performance people versus the process people. Since I worked on Wall Street, I'm very comfortable with the price people, but process people are driven crazy. And it's why traditionally you would never let a business person into Washington. Now, with the end of the debt growth model over and capital becoming dear, you know, if these guys bring in trillions of dollars from offshore, the last thing they want is somebody who wastes money. So it was very interesting. Peggy Noonan wrote a great column talking about the end of the Obama presidency and talked about how much people appreciated his style. It's really funny. One article today noted that since Obama's been president, there was a $75,000 per full-time worker increase in our debt. So my attitude is, I don't care if a guy has gracious style while he's loading me up with another $75,000 of debt. That's feudalism. So I'm not interested in having a gracious leader who shifts me into feudalism. I'd much rather have some bombastic, narcissistic guy who can understand how the money works. I mean, the reality is Obama gave away multiples of our retirement savings, and now as everybody gets their pension benefit cuts or watches their annuities inflated away or even canceled, you know, connect the dots. So we've traditionally not connected the dots, but it's going to start happening. Anyway, so I prefer performance over style. I prefer price over graciousness. I just think fundamental economics have to work. And if you want to give away my retirement savings and load me up with feudalistic layers of debt, you know, then I don't care about your style. But I appreciate that many, many people do. A lot of establishment is about to get engineered. We hear talk now of Trump looking for 10 to 20% cuts in staff and budgets in many different areas and canceling areas that sound nice, but frankly, if you look at where we are, you know, I would rather not have government in those businesses. So a lot of establishment in Washington is about to get engineered out. Same with the media. The media is losing market share left and right. CNN keeps behaving more and more badly. It's almost, you almost have to keep a CNN watch to see their latest Goomba. But a lot of them don't understand that many of their economic benefits came from not pushing the button. They came from secrecy, non-transparency around government investment, covert operations, including from the CIA, and no one wants to look at those facts. And it's what makes their sense of personal superiority so offensive, because it's simply not grounded in the economic reality. George H.W. Bush had declined coming to the inauguration, saying his doctor had said that if he sat outside in January, he would be, he would be 6 feet under. And now we see him yesterday going into the intensive care, and Barbara Bush also going into the hospital. My question is, given their involvement in shadow government operations, is somebody trying to protect them by putting them in the hospital? I think Bush is well out of shadow government operations, but I do think he's got his name on more than a few of the accounts that run the hidden system of finance. So something interesting is going on there. The extent of the lies in the fake news is getting beyond anything I've ever seen. There was a fake news New York Times short video It started with Trump's statement about vaccines in the debate, and then mentioned that he had a meeting with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who's a leading light of the Vaxxed documentary, which is Documentary of the Year. He then runs the video then runs a hit on Wakefield. That's essentially what it is. And in the process, they tell an enormous number of, it's just one lie after another. It's enormous. It's really designed to create a lot of shadow work for Wakefield, but also trick people, keep mind control going. And part of it is that Vaxxed is doing such an effective job at communicating, not just because of the documentary, but they're literally driving around the country with a bus, recording person after person, interview after interview. I put the interview of the McDowell triplets, the parents of the McDowell triplets, up a few weeks ago. It's so compelling. It's so effective. It's amazing. And there's one interview after another. I think I put three of them on. They're just rolling. And I think this is probably an effort to trump this. There's concern because Trump has said he's going to put RFK Jr. in charge of a commission on vaccines. But I've never seen such outrageous lies, completely contradicting scientific fact, in the New York Times. And my experience with the New York Times is that they are perfectly capable of zero integrity, particularly with black budget stuff. But this is, you know, beyond over the top, although their behavior on 9/11 was pretty over the top. But I think, you know, if there was any example that says that papers like the New York Times, literally, you have to be careful because it could be absolute pure fiction and complete bunk. So it means reading them carefully. Better yet, not reading them at all. Will Obama issue pardons to Bill and Hillary, Chelsea Clinton, and the Clinton Foundation? Bill Clinton issued 140 pardons on his last day, January 20th, 2001. So we still have between now and noon tomorrow when, in theory, he could issue a pardon. The best reason for not giving a pardon is simple. He doesn't know what kind of trouble Hillary might be in. There are multiple investigations still going on. She might have to admit to things she might not want to reveal to get the pardon. So be interesting to see what happens by noon tomorrow. There are proponents saying, yeah, she's going to get one, and others saying she won't. But it'll tell us a lot about that relationship, depending on what happens. One option for the Trump administration after the inauguration, if the Mennonite thing doesn't settle down, is to clear the field by having a scandal, really purging. I mean, if you're going to turn the money and people aren't going to toe the line or behave, then you really do need to do a purge. And the way to do it is to take the Anthony Weiner laptop and dish out all the dirt on pedophilia and money laundering. Now, the danger is once you do that, you never know where quite it goes, so it can get out of hand. But interestingly enough, Ben Swan of CBS did a six-minute spot on Pizzagate. I put it up on the website. And I think that was a warning to Clintons and the supporting teams to grow up and behave. We're literally seeing a legal, financial, cultural battle, but even a spiritual battle going on all at the same time. And it's not so simple that the good guys are on this side or the bad guys are on this side, but you're literally taking the metabolism in the system and increasing the metabolism. And when that happens, the rate of entropy goes up. Now, we're certainly much better off without the Clintons and without the Bushes. So, you know, I give Donald Trump credit. He benched and sidelined the Bushes and the Clintons. But my favorite cartoon on the election was a cartoon called American Roulette. And there was two guns. One had six bullets and it was called Clinton, and the other had three bullets and it was called Trump. So I'm deeply grateful to Trump for clearing the decks of the Clintons and the Bushes. At the same time, I have to say we're still facing three bullets. I posted this week a special Salyer report I did with Dr. Joseph Farrell. It's called Goldman Sachs, CIA, Russia, and the Privatization of Covert Finance. He and I were both getting a lot of questions because so many Goldman alums and Goldman employees were going to work in the Trump administration are being announced. So we thought we'd do one and talk about what this means in terms of who's going to manage the system of covert finance. And as I said, the financial coup d'etat is back working for Trump. So the plan to do a global unipolar model didn't work. It stalled. They need to do a pivot back. Now the team is bringing money and operations back. Among other things, they need the waste to be cut in Washington because they need that money to rebuild. I went in detail through the DOD audit, the 2015 audit report, and you realize looking at it, we really have run down the military in many aspects, despite the extraordinary amount of money being thrown at it. The important thing to ask about all the money that's will be shifted or the money that's being brought back, are we going to use it to bake pies or are we going to steal pies? So I'm guardedly optimistic because if you look at who's behind the scenes, if you're going to bring back this much money, there is a lot of competency that can be drawn on. The question is, if we're going to rebuild the economy, there are a lot of questions. One of those questions is, we've been dependent on the CIA for covert operations domestically, despite what their scope is supposed to be. But it looks from everything we've seen so far that a lot of the CIA is vested in the old model. It doesn't want to flip the model. So the question is, how do you deal with them, and how do you provide a new form of covert operations? Because I'm sure you're going to have them. Part of the issue on the CIA, the intelligence agency's budgets have grown much greater, faster than the military. And the military is, in many respects, in due for an upgrade. Anyway, we're literally watching with a financial coup and then reshoring the money, the dump and pump of an entire continent. It's usually pump and dump, but this one is in reverse. It looks like dump and pump. The good news is maybe the dump is over and we're starting into the pump. We'll see. Let's hope there's just a lot less waste in this cycle. I will note one thing. It sure looks to me, as you look at some of the people coming in to the Trump administration, you have a lot of billionaires and multimillionaires who look like they're really sick of the NSA and CIA invading their privacy and building control files on them and turning the shriek-o-meter on them, and they've decided to have it. Now, it's really interesting that the Kochs have been screaming forever about hating big government, and now their guy is going in on top of the CIA. I have a little bit more research to do on him, but let's see if he's ready to clean the swamp. We'll see. And as I said, the transition team is talking of deep cuts, which are long overdue. So the question is, will they be done well? And so what's important is not how much money you're spending. It's are you getting a positive or negative return? Markets, dollar's down a bit. It's down at 101, so it's down a little bit more than 1% for the year. Long Treasury TLT ETF is now up almost 0.9% for the year. The intermediate's flat. Corporate bonds are flat. Junk's up about a little bit more than a half a point. The S&P now up 1% for the year. Home builders up 0.6%. Europe doing better. Europe looks so much more attractive than domestic because domestic is so high. European ETF, VGK up 1.65%. Germany up 2.42%. Developed markets away from North America up 2.3%. China large caps up 5%. Small caps up 3.75%. Emerging markets up 3.8%. So despite the strong dollar, they seem to be doing well, although again, the dollar dropped off a little bit since the beginning of the year. Commodities index up 0.25%, and gold and silver flying. You know, it's we held the 1100 line and now are above 1200 on gold. So big topic tonight in the equity overview, will the long-term bull reassert in precious metals, and we'll see. But silver up 6.7% and gold up almost 4.75%. Well, the World Economic Forum is meeting at Davos. The Chinese president spoke. They're grousing about cash again. If you look at their grousing about cash last year and all the damage their push to get everybody off of cash did, what they've done in India, I believe, is an absolute crime. But anyway, Joseph Stiglitz, the trader, is talking about how you need to get everybody off cash because it'll stop corruption. Yeah, it's just going to increase corruption. So we'll have centralized corruption, no little corruption. Anyway, so it's not a bad idea to make sure you have plenty of cash and small bills. Who knows what these idiots will do. It's also another reason to make sure you have a core position in bullion and plenty of inventory. But any impact you can have politically to reject the notion of no cash, it's a very bad idea. Le Pen is now leading in the polls in France, not surprisingly, but it sort of indicates the trend continues. And again, we have France, Netherlands, and Germany all in 2017. The Prime Minister in England, May, clearly has her hands full on Brexit. There's a great quote from her presentation in Davos. She said, "I'm determined to stand up for free markets, free trade, and globalization, but also to show how these forces can work for everyone." Very good point. I mean, it's equivalent to what I say about we need growth in both labor and human productivity. The challenge, in my opinion, is you have a lot of people in Davos who talk a great game, but they don't believe in free markets. They believe in government guarantees and subsidies for themselves and their companies, and then markets for the deplorables. Anyway, so the part of the challenge is if you look at the extraordinary complexity of sort of designing and negotiating a Brexit, in some sense, it's very hard to get that much complexity into a consensus that can hold still long enough to do a deal. So it wouldn't surprise me if the details literally force May to do a hard Brexit, but we'll see. Everybody's shouting about they want details, but if you look at the complexity of it, it's not so easy to do. Soros says that the UK is in denial over Brexit and that May won't last. I don't agree. I think Soros is in the business of making a real fool of himself right now. We're having fun in the Philippines. Duarte now is blocking large child porn sites. And it's interesting because you have Putin in his Christmas speech come out hard against the corruption in the West, including the pedophilia. And now the Philippines, jumping on board. Let's see if it catches. There's a new report out from the Department of Education on student loans. Let me just read to you from the Wall Street Journal. It's a very serious comment on the real economy. Quote, "Many more students have defaulted on or failed to pay back their college loans than the U.S. government previously believed. Last Friday, the Education Department released a memo saying that it overstated student loan repayment rates at most colleges and trade schools and provided updated numbers. When the Wall Street Journal analyzed the new numbers, the data revealed that the department previously had inflated the repayment rates for 99.8% of all colleges and trade schools in the country. The new analysis shows that at more than 1,000 colleges and trade schools, or about a quarter of the total, at least half of the students had defaulted or failed to pay down at least a dollar on their debt within 7 years. The changes could have implications for federal policy. Some lawmakers are endorsing the idea of punishing colleges if enough students aren't paying back the loans. A spokeswoman for the Education Department said the program resulted from a technical programming error." That is hard to believe. Anybody familiar with a portfolio like that could look at the numbers and know they were wrong if that was the case. So whatever's going on, that was hooey. You notice that the truth came out after the election. Our hero tonight is a guy named Frank Kovac, who built the Kovac Planetarium. The video's up on the website. It's a hoot. It's a great story. It just goes to show you what really talented entrepreneurs can come up with. It took him 10 years to build a planetarium in his backyard, and now it gives him a steady income. It's great. Our other hero is Jack Ma, the richest man in China, who pointed out at Davos that the U.S. wasted $14 trillion on war in the past 30 years. It's very Trump-like behavior. Now, that's the kind of honesty we need. I would have loved to have seen everybody's face. And I hate to tell you how much of that $14 trillion was in the last 15 years. And let's go to the movies. I wanted to comment on the TV series Designated Survivor and talk about what it says about the governance tensions in Washington, D.C., because between the president-elect and differing factions in his intelligence agencies. The Designated Survivor, I'm not recommending it as a piece of entertainment. The lead actor is pretty good, but I would say it's kind of TV, but it's the story of the HUD secretary who is the designated survivor during the State of the Union, and the Capitol is bombed and everyone killed, and so he becomes the president of the United States. But what happens is slowly it comes out over the first two seasons. We'll see what is next. But what comes out is that, in fact, if you look at who's doing all the bombing and the machinations around it, it can't be the Arab terrorism who they're holding hostage or they're holding in prison for it. It has to be basically the deep state or some variation of the deep state. And it's proof positive, if they're doing this as a form of entertainment on TV, it's proof positive that the war on terrorism story is wearing thin and the major networks are having to compete back with something that offers something a little bit closer to reality. So we might have fake news, but we don't seem to have fake fiction. Okay, the interview is me tonight in the Equity Overview with their three parts. First, I go through what happened in 2016 with the charts up on your web presentation under the financial chart section. Then we talk about where we are in January 2017 with Rambus's marvelous blockbuster chartology. Bottom line, equity is still in the bull markets. Fixed income bull pretty much is over. Question is, will precious metals reassert? We talk you through the charts on all of that. And then I don't believe in predicting what's going to happen. I'm a great believer in scenarios. And if you've read our other annual wrap-ups, you know every year we have scenarios for the future. This year, the scenario effort took, and the news trends and story effort took, significantly longer than in terms of investment of our time and preparation than they do in prior years, because every year until now, I've said it's just going to slow burn. Well, the reality is we're in for major changes, and it's not just going to slow burn. What happens is very much going to be dependent on whether the reshoring is pulled off and successful or not. It can go in a variety of different ways. But so we're in for enormous variability. Moreover, all the money that's been moved out of Global 2.0, we are out of essentially runway on kick the can, and so now we're going to start having controlled demolitions. I mentioned in News Trends and Stories the example of CalPERS cutting the benefits in November by 60% of the municipal employees of Loyalton, California, who as of January, going to have to start living on 40% of what they lived on last year. We've seen cuts in pension benefits in Dallas, cuts or a freeze in Dallas that we've seen, freeze against withdrawals. We've seen the Cleveland Iron Workers cut. So these controlled demolitions are coming and the government reengineering is coming. So if they're going to cut staff 10 or 20%, I'm sure they'll do some freezes in Washington, but that means big change coming. So if you look at what it means to you and me, it's very specific to your unique situation or my unique situation. So I don't like to generalize too much about this, but if you read the introduction and some of the other parts of the wrap-up, certainly go through News Trends and Stories and listen to my discussion with Joseph, we try and give you all the information you need to think about what it's going to be like for you. Now, the reality is, what it's going to be like is very much going to be affected on how the general economic scenario goes down. And that's why I do scenarios. We did a wonderful scenario thinking Solari report with Eric Best. And you might want to listen to that before you look at the scenarios. And the way I do strategic planning and investment strategy is I look at the different scenarios, I put probabilities to them, and then I allocate resources to make sure that myself or whoever I'm working with is fine in every scenario. So take a look definitely take a look at the web presentation. You can go through all the different scenarios in the get ready section, and then of course we have everything in the financials. Make sure when you click on us on both the market part of the web presentation and the get ready part of the web presentation that you first click on the top bar so that you see the overview page before you dive down in. But anyway, tremendous thought went into that, and I do think we're in a really big turn. So you want to set aside some time for strategic planning and think about, okay, what does it mean for you? Where are the opportunities? Where are the risks? Okay, questions. More great links. Thank you so much. Most of them we put up, and I really appreciate it. Dear Catherine, I'd like to comment on this number, and then they proceed to talk about all the money missing from the Department of Defense. And had questions about it. So I put up one of the things they thought was that the $6.5 trillion, there were two write-offs in 2015. One was $6.5 trillion and the other was $2-something for a total of a little bit more than $9 trillion. Anyway, they were saying that that represented a cumulative number, including the other years. That's not my interpretation of what I've read in the financials. But what I did was I posted those links along with lots of other links on the missing money in a commentary at Solari.com. Since I've been getting more and more questions, we did a review of sort of the rollout of the financial coup d'etat and the different numbers in the 2013 annual wrap-up. So I put a link to that sort of chronology. And it's not a bad thing to go take a look, because if we're going to live through the dump and then the pump of an entire continent, it pays to sort of see the flows of money. And I hope at least conceptually that lays it out. Hello, I thought I'd send you some happy news about my experience with the Blue Shield product that you and Jason Bodensmith talked about in your Solari report a couple of months ago. I'm very sensitive to electromagnetic energy, so when I heard about this product and how your orchids went wild, I thought, wow, that there sure isn't a placebo effect with orchids. This thing really works. I got the one that you plug into an owl and just went about my usual quiet life and observed. Actually, I've never used the one that plugs into an outlet, so that's interesting. I've seen it in the store, on the online store, but I haven't bought it. I have two cats, one of whom is about 10 years old. Her name is Lily, with pretty severe arthritis and a genetic bone problem due to her breed. She has been in increasing pain over the last several years and is on strong anti-inflammatory drugs and some supplements. In the last year or so, she's required narcotic pain medication once a week or so to give her a break from the unremitting pain. About a week after I plugged the Blue Shield in, she was a different cat. She started leaving her bed with a heating pad and being with us, allowing more touch and actually walking much better with much less pain. She now sleeps in a happy sprawl instead of rolled in a stiff ball of pain. It's only gotten better since then. She interacts and talks more, plays with my friend Minnie, our other cat, and even spontaneously plays with toys on her own. I've not seen this kind of behavior in literally years. She has not needed pain medication since I plugged it in. To know that she is in so much less pain and enjoys life more can literally bring tears to my eyes. Minnie, incidentally, has had a great improvement in her chronic ear infections, too, as well as just having better energy all around. As for me, I think it was of great assistance in coping with a horrible bombardment of electromagnetic mind control and entrainment that was relentless in the run-up to the election. And now, as we are almost at the inauguration, the mind control that is broadcast through the cell network, etc., was certainly used a lot post-election to assist in the civil insanity that has rolled out in my area, the Pacific Northwest. With all the effect on humans of all the crud raining from the sky, electromagnetic pollution, etc., I think our furry friends get it even worse due to their smaller size and being closer to the ground. Needless to say, I'm thrilled with my decision to invest in a Blue Shield. So a tip of my hat to you and Jason Bodensmith, and really big purse from Lily and Minnie. That is such great news. I'm delighted to hear of it, and I let Jason know, and he was delighted as well. So I really appreciate your feedback. Dear Catherine, two terms. Oh, and if you haven't listened to our interview with Jason Bodensmith on EMF radiation, I really encourage you to do it. I think it's very important. And Jason is now working on a new website. He's made a real commitment to deal with this. He's very concerned about what it's doing to people. More on that. I'm hoping in the first quarter. Dear Catherine, two terms that have been utilized for years now are neocon and neoliberal. Can you give us your definition of what these two terms mean? In my experience, there's no connection between neocon and neoliberal. There's no connection to conservative or liberal. It's rather neo stands for organized crime, and the conservative or liberal part simply means philosophy masking for self-interest. So I would say what they mean is organized crime using conservative philosophy or liberal philosophy as a conceptual explanation for their politics of personal interest and greed. Has Catherine seen this link? This is a crowdsourcing investigation on the corruption in the U.S. deep state that has been going for on 82 days now. It's a guy named George Webb is trying to figure out and document how people made money on Libya, the money laundering through Clinton, sort of dirty dealing with DynCorp, one of the defense contractors who I've run-ins with before. It's an interesting presentation. I've posted several. And one of the things that's interesting about it is he's talking about the use of NGOs in a way that fits with what I've experienced or observed. And he's kind of talking about how money works on these places where you go strip a country and then everybody, you know, the government pays the military bill and then all the private citizens, kind of scarf up all the money. So it's interesting whether he's got the facts right or not. We don't know. He's trying to figure it out by looking for patterns. Greetings, Catherine. I'm a fairly new subscriber to Solari. I was enticed by your conversations with Joseph. So I'm just learning the ins and out of finance, and a friend of mine shared this article with me. I already feel like there's some red flags here. She doesn't really understand how the big picture works. I was wondering what your take is. It's an article about Amazon growing and never generating a profit, although last year they did, one time in the last year they did a little bit of profit. So my answer is going to be grossly oversimplified because it's a long article with many points. It's true, Amazon is building and using pre-tax dollars to build. So in that sense, there's no profit. It's basically building a capital, a real infrastructure, but being able to expense most of it. And so it's smart as long as you're building a machine that can generate a profit. If you never generate a profit, it's not smart as a business sense. It may be smart as a political sense if the people helping you do it want to control centrally. The real importance on in any kind of situation like this is are you getting a high return on what you're building? If you are, then it makes sense. If you're not, then it's, you know, then it's either stupid or there's a political goal. I would point out that several years ago before they bought the Washington Post, they got a huge cloud contract from the CIA. And my question was how much of that was designed to keep them afloat and make them look like they were generating a profit. It's the same issue with the U.S. government. I'm not concerned with deficits necessarily. What I'm concerned is that you're getting a much better return on investment on the money you just borrowed than what you're paying on it. So if you're borrowing it basically 0% by printing paper, are you getting the return that makes it worth everybody living with the debasement that results from you running that kind of deficit? If you're borrowing in the bond market at 1%, can you reinvest it at 10%? So the big issue is whether or not you're getting a positive return. And what I have to tell you is the amount of waste in U.S. government budgets and spending is just unbelievably extraordinary. Now, some of that is to finance the black budget and keep it all secret. And I would tell you that what's killing us is privilege, and the privilege comes from secrecy, and the secrecy comes from whatever reason we want to keep the black budget secret. And at this point, I think the secrecy is more harmful than whatever the truth is. To understand these issues, I would really encourage you to listen to the interview I did with Rappaport, Can America Be Great Again? Because we go through the nuts and bolts of how these terms mean and how to think about it. Now, all of this works as long as the capital flows, as if everybody can freely play this game according to the merits. That's why regulation and dirty tricks to stop capital from flowing into small farms and business is so ugly. I mean, you're literally making sure that the small guys can't play the game while you scarf up all the capital to play this game for yourself. So my attitude is, it's fine as long as everybody has equal access to play this game. And that way the least competent gets squeezed out as opposed to the insiders. Next question. For a YouTube video on mysterious events that looks to be made by a guy living in his mother's basement, this one actually has a few things that were worthwhile. Spherical clouds, whatever it was that was making the chemtrail, take a look. It's fascinating. I put it up on the website. I think we put it under wildcards. Catherine, my brother invented instrument for improving telemedicine in South Carolina with his latest thrust to provide nursing homes with experts to determine if a patient needs to be taken to the emergency room. He hired an ex-Navy SEAL to work with a company and who saw the market for this as a replacement for the police body cams. My question, is, even though it would provide more resources for the field, does this outweigh the intrusiveness of this platform into our communities and individual privacy? I'm thinking of investing time and money in this company to promote the tool, but I'm worried that it may just be giving Mr. Big another eye into our privacy. Your opinion would be value to me in making that decision. If I understand it correctly, no, I don't think it doesn't concern me. It's a public officer. The thing that would concern me if the police, for some good reason, didn't want to wear it, use it. But I think, generally it's going to be used by the police in a situation where they're acting as an officer of the law and often are invited in. So nothing's perfect. But and I also think the technology is going to happen one way or the other. So doing it morally and properly is a good idea. Here comes another question on George Webb. I'm curious if you've heard of George Webb and his work regarding the Clinton Foundation. His work is very thorough and he uncovers approximately 33 years of history and how it relates to the Clintons. He reveals the players and provides evidence. A number of his videos have been deleted, so he must be spot on in his analysis. I'm sending the link for day 53. I expect you will find day 60 extremely interesting in that discusses the Clintons and their corruption in Haiti. It's interesting. I should probably, if I had the time, I'd love to sit down and watch them all in a stretch. As a family, we are paying for the protection of Mr. Trump and Mr. Pence, their families, and the entire team. We also pray that swift justice be given to all those who perpetrate this evil, especially as it relates to children and the innocent victims of their bloody wars. I don't know how they sleep at night, especially as they look at their own children and grandchildren. Thanks for your amazing work. Well, let's hope that reshoring instead of spending $14 trillion on war works. The question is, to what extent are they planning to just rebuild the military and what are they going to do with it when it happens? There's no doubt if you look at the amount of resources that are expended on central control and warfare on this planet, it is so over the top you don't even know how to explain the fundamental economic model. It's almost as though the model is designed to torture everybody. So it's like, how can you deliver maximum pain? Anyway, it's quite demonic when you really get in and look at the numbers. But the reality is humans don't trust each other. And the question ultimately is why? Because we are spending an absolute fortune. And the sub-optimization of wealth on this planet is beyond belief. And that's why I keep coming back to transparency and getting to the bottom of the hidden monies and the monies that keep disappearing and what Joseph and I sometimes refer to as the mysterious dividend. Do you have any comment or insight about Betsy DeVos's Trump's choice for education secretary being the sister of Eric Prince of Blackwater? No, not yet. I've had it on my list to watch her confirmation hearing. I haven't yet. The Trump team has a lot of contacts on the covert side, and it's one of the reasons I think to a certain extent we're looking at the privatization of the hidden system of finance or a sort of rearrangement between the financial guys who do the work and the military. and a squeezing out of some of the intelligence agency players. The interesting, if you look at the guy he's put in as the CIA head, it's a Koch brothers guy. Part of it, he's trying to weave a tapestry of all the Republican players. He does need a lot of advice about how to handle the covert side, so it doesn't surprise me to see folks like Eric Prince around. And if you look at the Prince family's role in Michigan and what their father was doing, it doesn't surprise me that they're somehow in the mix. I don't know much about the DeVos, but I think one of the big questions here is, if you're going to reshore this much money and you're going to do it in a way where things really work and are competitive with what's going on in Asia, you need to get rid of the arrogance. I think arrogance is in danger of really killing the establishment. It's too bad. It didn't used to be that way. There was immense talent and capability that I knew of, and people didn't behave like this. So the arrogance is just unbelievable. Anyway, I hope you're well. Amongst numerous current world change subjects, I have a deep interest in physics. I've been keenly aware of the buried technologies for some time. If they can't control the distribution, they kill them. However, these new technologies are leaking out. One such invention was, and then he's describing a battery. I've come across several entities building it. One in particular has bravely ventured out into the U.S. market from here in Colorado. Might I entice you to contact, interview, and help expose them? I'd be happy to learn more about them, but I don't have the capacity to do due diligence. So without me having due diligence or having somebody who can do serious due diligence, I can't have them on the Solaria report. But I'd be happy to learn more, and if I think it's of interest, send them on to somebody who does have that capacity, if I think it's appropriate. So I'm happy to learn more. Dear Catherine, thank you for the special show on Goldman Sachs and President-elect Trump. It was most informative. Please consider doing the same program with Dr. Farrell after Trump's State of the Union address. One thing I'm sure Trump's Goldman Sachs team will not repeat is Obama's fiasco of rolling out an unfinished, failed ACA's website to initial any new products they had planned. When Bush appointed Goldman Sachs as Hank Paulson, Treasury Secretary, in 2006, his first budget in 2006 included millions of dollars to write and test software that would eventually be used in 2009 to execute TARP. I know, because two friends of mine were working for Feds and were on the team that built the software. In fact, the execution of TARP was delayed several times that spring because they're still working to make it foolproof. This confirms your assertion that the Bush-Obama team were working together to steal the $700 billion of taxpayer money, allowing only 1% to help the homeowners. We might learn something of Steve Mnuchin's plans as Secretary of Treasury by looking closely at his 2017 budget to see what money has been included in this budget for the new software. Oh, I bet you it's in the it's in the budget now. That's why it's always fun to read the budget details. But my favorite thing is always to get the contract budgets, and that's what they trying to get the contract budgets, which should be public, it's like pulling teeth. I once had a reporter torture the head of the GAO. Congress's auditor to try and get the DOD to publish its contracting budgets, and they never would. Dear Catherine and Joseph, I noticed this news also after listening to one of the news and views from Joseph about Hungary banning Soros-funded NGOs. So I guess that among the countries that are doing the same is also Macedonia now. I did not hear about a similar trend here in Croatia or other countries in this region, but it's very possible too. You should keep in mind the U.S. has huge influence in this region and Macedonia. They have built in recent years one of the biggest CIA centers in the world, together with huge U.S. embassy building. Kosovo is not far away either. So here's the article. Soros, his mess is reverberating everywhere. There's no doubt about it. And it was funny to see his presentation at Davos, because the Bloomberg interviewer was literally laughing at him. Or she was trying not to laugh, is how it looked to me. Well, that's it in closing. Again, please go into the annual wrap-up, and really, there's great information in the introduction and in the scenarios about what these things might mean for you, but expand your mind and get prepared for all possible futures, because we are really in for a wild ride. This is going to be it's a major change coming in the cash flows. January 26th will be our final presentation on the annual wrap-up, our big theme, the global harvest and what it means to investors. Food is the thing. If we're reshoring back into the United States, then food is one of our major exports, other than weapons and pornography. And the world needs food, and we have lots of great agriculture, land, and water. So food is a major and ever more important part of the global economy and of global geopolitics. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. February 2nd, the emerging multipolar world. Saker is back and with lots to say about what's happening in the changes in Washington and what that means to Russia. And then February 9th, a Salieri report on pedophilia with John Rappaport. I asked John to come in and talk about the history of pedophilia, what it means, and why this Pizzagate scandal is probably not going to go away. We'll see in the new year, but it's something boiling under the surface, and it's time to give you a really serious briefing on the topic so that you know how to think about it, what it's really about, and how it might relate to you, and how you need to handle your kids if you have them, or grandkids if you're taking care of them. So until January 26th, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.